Welcome to Life Church of Mobile's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll enjoy.
All right. Welcome to Life Church. If this is your first time here, welcome. My name is Giovanni Burnaby. For those that can't pronounce my last name, it's Burnaby. It's Bernabe. If you can't roll the R, it's Burnaby. I am the youth pastor here. If you do have a child that is 12 to 18, we link up here on Wednesday night, 6 to 8 o'clock. We feed them and we have a blast and they get equipped with the word of God. So, yeah, amen. So for my parents, who had, we just got done doing the boys lock-in. Who let their kids go to the boys lock-in? Raise your hand real quick. Raise your hand if you had a kid that, you're welcome. You're welcome, you're welcome, because they were asleep all day yesterday. You had a peaceful day, didn't you? Yes, that's right. They slept through that entire day. Look, I thought I was a spring chicken. I'm 33, and I played ball till about 4 in the morning, and I'm hurting right now. I am hurting. So we're going to get right into it. The message today is titled, King Jesus. King Jesus, not to be confused by the Kanye West album, which is a really, really dope album if you haven't heard it, but King Jesus. And I think it's important that we allow God to reveal all of his expressions to us. Amen? So there are three expressions I want to share with you today, and that is Savior, Lord, and King. And see, as believers, I think it is so important. Think about it. We love Jesus as Savior, right? Come on. When you think about being saved or rescued, we love that part of Jesus. I mean, we've all been there where we couldn't pay our bills on time, and then we got that little bit of help, and we're like, woo, okay, now let's go to Red Lobster. No, I'm joking. So, but we know what that, we know the feeling of being saved. It's a great feeling. We love it. It's something that we cling on to and stuff that's just hard to forget. So Jesus is always going to come through, right? Always. All I have to do is believe with my heart and confess with my mouth. I get to bow my head during worship and confess, and I get to raise my hands, and then wow, we're followers of Jesus. It is literally that simple. But then there is knowing Jesus as Lord. Jesus is Lord where he's guiding and leading every aspect of your life. I know some people who honor Jesus as their Savior, but dishonor him as Lord. Let's just keep it real. And I used to be one of those people. See, I'm talking from experience. When I was first saved, Jesus was my Savior, but in no way, shape, or form was he my Lord. Are you with me? See, I made my own decisions. I controlled my own life. I did what I wanted to do. It's my money. I need it. No, I'm joking. And the thing is, it wasn't that God was mad at me. And I want to be very, very clear on what I'm saying, okay? So many times we say things like, God is not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He loves you just the way you are. And a lot of my youth ask me this question, where is God going to love me just the way I am? And that's a very valid question. Well, of course he is. But here's the thing. God also wants to lead you. He doesn't want to just love you. He wants to lead you. And I will go as far as saying, as a father, if I'm loving and not leading, am I really loving? You see, loving involves leadership. Yes. And so many times we want God to show us his love, but we don't want him to show us his leadership. And I feel like the Lord is saying, if you don't let me lead you, you will never experience the fullness of my love. So then there's Jesus the Savior. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. Go ahead, y'all say it, because it's beautiful when you say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love that. And then there is Jesus, who is Lord. You see, it's a leadership thing. And in Revelations, it says, Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, leader of leaders. And see, I'm a very visual person, so if you open up your Bible and you see this scripture, if you notice, the second king is a lowercase king. The first one is uppercase. You see, he's the King of Kings. He's leader of leaders. He's above all. Jesus loves you and leads you. If Jesus is loving you and leading you, you will... If he is loving you and leading you, we will experience things that no eye has ever seen and no ear has ever heard. If you only want the love and you don't want the leadership, then you will experience a portion of God's love. But you will never be able to walk in the fullness of it. See, I can tell you right now that as of my life, when I was first saved, I knew that God loved me, but it wasn't up until I was 30 that I let God lead me. You see, I've been letting Jesus lead me for the past 3 years, and out of 33 years of my life, I have learned, seen, and heard more in the past 3 years than the rest of my 30. It's unbelievable. And see, the world would look at this and say it does not make any sense, which it doesn't. So then there's Jesus the Savior, and then there's Jesus your Lord, but then there's Jesus as King. You see, if you can make it to this level, you done made it to the mountaintop. Real talk. Jesus as King, that means Jesus has dominion over everything in your life. That means Jesus, his words have dominion. The king didn't have to work. All he had to do was speak. And what came out of his mouth became law. He would issue a decree and nobody had to vote. Can I be honest with y'all? Can I get real with y'all this morning? You see, we got so used to voting, right? And I love that we're in a democracy. But being in a democracy means that we have a say in the matter, right? You see, I'm gonna be honest. Some of y'all might not like this, but it's the truth. We don't like kings. We don't like kings because we like people that we get to decide if they get to lead us or not. But see, Jesus is not the president. He's the king. You can't vote for the king. You can't vote for Jesus. And here's what happened in our life because we get so used to this whole democracy thing. Now, okay, some of y'all might take my words and twist them, but look, hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything about, I think this democracy is wrong, nothing like that. I ain't trying to get into no scandal or anything like that. But listen, I appreciate living in America. I love America. Love it. It's my home. Love it, land of the free, amen. But what I'm saying is, if we're not careful, we can take scripture and put it on a ballot. We put it on a ballot and we get to decide which one makes us feel good and which one doesn't. You see, I'm gonna be honest. I get a lot of youth and a lot of people outside of this church that wanna talk to me about the sin in their life and what makes them them. Right? And then usually after the conversation is over, they just kind of stand there just waiting for something, you know? And what they're waiting for is they want to know if I affirm their character and what makes them them. And so the definition of affirm is to state as a fact, assert strongly and publicly. This is not going to be a popular, this right here is probably going to get me in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. And look, I've thought about that question for a long time, trust me, for months. Like, how do I even answer that? Because I don't ever want someone to feel like I don't love them. I don't ever want someone to feel like I don't accept them. I don't want them to feel like I hate them. But at the end of the day, I don't want to give you Gio's opinion. I want to point you to scripture. And so what I typically do is I point them to the Bible and I make sure I tell them, hey, you do know I didn't write this, right? Amen. I didn't write this. I live by this, but I didn't write it. But now here we go. But you know what I thought a few weeks ago is that I don't have the authority to affirm them. I don't have the authority to affirm their character, to affirm their sin. I can accept, I can embrace, I can love, but I don't have the authority to affirm. Why do you think Jesus waited 30 years to start his ministry? The heavens opened up, God affirmed him. So let's go. The Spirit came down like a dove. The people were already affirming him, but he couldn't do anything because their affirmation had no authority over who he was. My affirmation has no authority. And what I realize is that we give people's affirmation too much authority. Why do you want to know whether or not the person next to you affirms you? Why do you want to know whether or not I affirm you? Why do you want to know why? See, some of y'all have left the church because you didn't get the affirmation of a pastor or someone you wanted to get close to. They didn't have the authority to affirm you nor disaffirm you. When you're in the presence of God, we all get affirmed by the blood of Jesus. Man, I'm preaching. I promised myself I wouldn't start preaching until half this thing, man. Oh, my goodness. Listen, that's how I'm going to respond to that every single time. I didn't have the authority to affirm you. Who am I? If King David said to himself that, who am I and these people that we could sit under the presence of God? Just because I'm a pastor and a leader of a church doesn't mean my affirmation has any authority. The authority belongs to King, the King Jesus. And I am nothing but a messenger who comes in the name of the King. And his name is Jesus. See, here's the thing. When you understand Jesus as your Savior, Jesus as your Lord, and Jesus as your King, it means that you have dominion. Do you know that there are certain places that you pray so hard to go that you need dominion to go there? Let's get interactive real quick. How many people in here right now have something that they're believing God to do in their lives that hasn't happened yet? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Now, how many of you people feel talented to do that task right now? Some hands went down. See, here's the thing. What if you're not there yet? Because what requires you to get there is by being under the King's dominion. Because that's the thing that you're currently, because the thing that you're currently believing for is under the dominion of darkness. And if you go there, if you go to that place without operating underneath the dominion of the King, without the authority of the King, then that place will now have dominion over you. Am I getting too real? I'll stop. I'll take a step back. Has anybody ever been here? Has anyone ever taken a job that they just feel anxious every single day? If that's you, no, seriously, if that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If that is you, just keep it up, keep it up. Now you can put it down. Put it back. No, I'm joking. Okay. But look, check this out. Because the spirit of anxiety has taken over that job. All right? You're not working. And man, oof, man. See, you took it and you're not walking and under the submitted authority under the King. So then you can't go into a place and you can't have things submit to the King that you serve. This is so important that we honor Jesus as King. And Romans 11:29 says, I love this. I love this. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The word gifts means a lot of different things. And I don't think God is just talking about your abilities. Like, God will never revoke my singing. No, he's definitely revoked some of y'all singing. I hear you singing on Sundays. But it also means the grace that God has given you to do the things that he's called you to do. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Say irrevocable. Irrevocable. The King is calling. The King is calling. The gifts of God are irrevocable. Why would they be irrevocable? Because the King is the one who gave the gift. Because the King is the one who called them. You see, if I give you a gift, I can take it back. If I called you to do something, I can call you to undo it. Or I can just be a flake and just not show up. But it's the authority of the person who gave the gift. So that means the enemy cannot take something from you that God has given you. I was going there the whole time. The only way the enemy can take it from you is if you forfeit it. The gifts and the calling of the king are irrevocable. And this is what this word calling means in Greek. It means to be summoned. So when I say that God is calling you, that means it's a summons. All right. Anyone here ever been to jury duty? Man, I'm so jealous. I ain't gonna lie. Look, I'm not one of those people that's gonna try to get out of it. If I'm summoned to jury duty, you're gonna pay me to judge people? All right, sign me up. Sign me up. Right, and honestly, when you guys got that summons, right, instinctively, the first thing we try to do if we don't wanna do something is try to find a way out, right? A lot of y'all don't want your week all messed up, and you're like, jury duty, I ain't doing it. So the first thing we do is we try to find a way out of this, right? You get a letter from somebody that says that they can save you money on your student loan. Who has a lot of student loans right now? Who's got, like, it's just piled up, right? But if somebody called you and they said, hey, man, I can save you a buttload of money on your student loans, you're like, let's go. You're all about that life. Every last one of you guys, it's because we like saviors. We like saving. But if you get a summons, how do I get out of this? I heard in jury duty you have to report, right? Every single day. And you have to call every single night to see if you have to report to duty, to see that, to see where you have to report to. You call when you get a summons. You have to call every single day. But when you get a summons from God, it's the same thing. You got to interact with God every single day because there might be something in the morning that you got to do that you weren't planning on doing. Listen. It's the call. It's not just God just saying, yo, what up? We need to have more reverence for God. I said, if you have more reverence for God, you might not get that divorce. If you had more reverence from God, your finances might just be okay. But so many times we preach so much that God loves us, and he does. You know what I'm saying? But we treat him like he's the homie sometimes. For real. We treat him like he's a buddy. We treat him like he's a friend. We treat him like God is saying, like calling us up on Saturday night. Yo, what up, G? Hey, man, you gonna come to church today? It's all right if you don't want to. Just if you do, make sure you come swagged out. Wear them nice sneakers I like, all right? All right, man, I'm gonna say to my, I'm gonna say to my own name, all right? Amen, amen, amen. He's not doing that. We treat him like he's the homie sometimes. I'm being for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, he tells you to do something like, hey, I need you to get involved. I need you to serve. You don't have to if you don't want to. It's cool. I get it. No, when he calls you to do something, immediately it needs to become law in your life. But see, we're so used to democracy. When Jesus says something, we vote. Do I want to do that? Do I not want to do that? Because we don't honor Jesus as king. The gifts and the callings are irrevocable. Anyone here ever get their license suspended? Don't worry, I won't judge you. Look, I never had mine taken away, thank God. But I can imagine how horrible it must be to have somebody else drive you all over. I wish Astrid was here, because, man, she'd look at me like, you know. She loves driving. She likes to drive. I feel like somebody in this place right now is living like their Christian's license has been suspended. So you go through some things in your finance and your giving license is suspended, so you don't give. Your faith is down, so you don't pray. God will never take away anything from you because he paid the ultimate price. He paid it with blood. And so we have to understand that it's irrevocable. The word irrevocable means it's legislative. Legislative. I can't take it back because when I said it, I would do it. It became law in heaven. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
So when Jesus said to the Howards that they're calling you to ministry, that's not just a suggestion. He wasn't just saying that out of nowhere. He didn't say it because he felt like it. He is saying, in heaven, I slammed the gavel. It's happening. If you trust me and if you move forward, it has become law in the courts of heaven. So then what the enemy tries to do in your mind is that he tries to play out your case in the lower courts. Hear that word, lower courts. He tries to play out the case in the lower court. Do you know if you get convicted in a civil court or in a city court, it can get overturned in a federal court? Did you know that? I did. The hard way. I did. See, some of y'all have been convicted. The enemy said you're guilty, but then it goes to the high court. But then it goes to the court of heaven. And it gets, and then you know what happens in the court of heaven? Not guilty. Not guilty. It's appealed. You've been set free. You see what I'm saying? When he says he's going to do something, when he says he has a calling or a purpose over your life, it becomes legislation in the kingdom of heaven because a king said it. So here's the thing that I've learned through scriptures is as I read the Old Testament, I don't know if you know this, but in Genesis, there was a terrible prophecy that God's people would be in 400 years of slavery. 400 years of slavery. So there's 400 years of slavery to Egypt, and God sent Moses and delivered them from slavery. They suffered for 400 years. And God raised up Moses to set them free. And then if you read the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, and then after the book of Malachi, you get to the book of Matthew, the beginning of the New Testament. And Bible scholars, and this is a very unanimous thing that I've read, is that they all agree that in between that, there was 400 years of silence. So in between Malachi and Matthew, when John the Baptist showed up, there was 400 years of silence. 400 years of slavery, 400 years of silence, 400 years of suffering, 400 years of silence. And if you're like me, you can spend so much of your time interacting with God about your suffering that you don't realize that if the Lord breaks silence in the suffering, his kingship is beginning to reign. See, what I mean is that we pray so much to get out of what we're doing instead of praying for the king to speak to us in the middle of it. Do you know that in the Emancipation Proclamation, Juneteenth is the thing that it's Black History Month, and Juneteenth celebrates when a group of people found out that they were set free, so that there was a gap between what Abraham Lincoln declared and there was a gap between what he said and making it to the ears of the people who were still in slavery. So when he decreed that, there was a long period of to get to those people that were still in slavery. So the law has been set, but to get to those people, it took a long time.
Yeah.
Right? So what this is about is there are things that God wants to tell you. My water. Gosh. He's trying to tell me something. I'm thirsty. And the enemy wants you to be distracted. There are certain things God wants to tell you, but the enemy wants you to be distracted. So you can't hear those things. Therefore, you are not walking in what the king has declared because you can't hear it. There's a gap, 400 years of slavery and 400 years of silence. And I felt like God is saying, I sent Jesus as a savior to break the slavery. You don't have to be a slave to fear. You don't have to be a slave to anxiety. And you don't have to be a slave to discouragement. You don't have to be a slave to your goals, your dreams. If you believe in Jesus, that part is the Savior. I've broken the slavery. Jesus is saying, I have broken the slavery in your family. for 400 years. It's done today. So whatever it is that you think that you're repeating this cycle in your family, you think you have these generation curses, or these generational curses, Jesus is saying today it is broken. It is done in the name of Jesus. But I sent Jesus as a king to break the silence. And if there's a group of people who can hear from heaven and treat those words with the authority that the words have, can you imagine things that can happen in the church?
Yes.
Because we all want to be free, but do we want to hear the authority that the king has to say? Do we want to read the Bible? Do we want to hear from God? And I felt like God said that if we don't allow Jesus to come as Savior and break the slavery, but we also don't allow him to come as King and break the silence and treat his words with authority, the Bible with authority, we're not going to be able to walk in the fullness of our calling. The body will be broken down. The body will be broken down. I remember once upon a time I drove this white Mazda car, and it was my wife's baby. I took it over and became my baby. But this car kept overheating, and it broke down on me so many times. So many times. And then there was one time that I remember so vividly. It broke down on, it was Cottage Hill. It was on Cottage Hill. And I'm not even going to try to get in directions with y'all. It was on Cottage Hill. I remember it broke down, and I lifted up the hood. And then I had this faith, right? I put my hands over the thing. I'm like, oh, man, I'm about to pray this thing to come back to life. So I'm like, in Jesus' name, you are going to turn on, and you are going to work. In Jesus' name, you are going to turn on, and you're going to work. And then you got people like, what's this dude doing? In Jesus' name, you are going to turn on, and you are going to work. And I heard the Lord call AAA. Call AAA. The Holy Spirit said, call AAA. So I was like, all right, Lord, you broke silence. Cool. I'll call AAA. So AAA came out and they helped the brother out. It was all good. But as I was thinking about this story, I was thinking about Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, my Lord, and Jesus, my King. And without allowing Jesus to lead us with all three of these expressions, the church is broken down and we need to call AAA. You want to know what AAA stands for? The AAA of the church is, in this season, is... Oh, man, I was super dope. I mean, this is good right here. Thank you, Jesus. Anointing, authority, and action. Anointing, authority, and action. AAA is what's going to keep the church from being broken down. Anointing, authority, and action. The king is calling so that the church can operate in anointing, authority, and action. So we're going to start with the first A, and that's anointing. In Luke 4, verse 18 says, Jesus said, this is the very first sermon in the temple, right? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And then in 1 John 2, chapter 2, 20 and 21, it says that God's people have been anointed by the Holy One. All right. So you got to watch this, okay? Because this is really important. People are so consumed by their by trying to use their talent that they're not using their anointing. Okay. You see, anointing sets people free. Yeah. Yeah. And everyone is called to participate in it. And especially setting people free. Everybody is called to use what they're anointed to do, not just what they're talented to do. So you have musicians. Look, worship team, I ain't pointing any of y'all out, all right? Just It's an example. Don't send me an email. So musicians who are talented in guitar, right? But they're anointed in fatherhood. So they're saying, I'm not going to get married and have kids because I'm on the road. I'm a musician. I need to do this. I need to do that. And if I have a kid right now, it's going to kind of stunt what I got going on right now. You see, we spend our lives doing and what we're talented to do, not what we're anointed to do. Are my kids going to get in the way of my dreams? I hope so. I really do. I hope so. Because when you do what you're anointed to do, God will make sure you'll start doing what you're talented to do. You know how many men are anointed to coach and won't coach because they're too busy trying to use their talent to make money? And I ain't knocking y'all. But trying to use their talent to make money, you better coach. You better coach. I know you're busy, but you're anointed. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but you're anointed to do this. Look, there's these little kids that don't have anointed father in their life. Can you imagine if you stepped in? Someone who's anointed in fatherhood. If you stepped in and took the place of that person who's not anointed. Come on. Man. We can never be too busy to do what we're anointed to do. Anointed for marriage ministry, anointed to father, anointed to coach. And we don't want to let our gift get in the way of anointing. Anointing means that you are divinely empowered. The oil of heaven, anointing oil, divinely empowered. Spending all of your time on your talent is exhausting. For real. Spending all of your time on your talent is exhausting. Because God will never give you the strength to do the complete opposite of what he's anointed you to do. Come on. But anointing is when God does something. Typically, your talent affects the external. Your anointing affects the internal. That's the difference. When you're anointed this is going to be one of those other things, okay? If you want to send an email, it's at gburnaby@lifechurch. When you're anointed, the world never celebrates that. They usually don't pay you, and if they do pay you, it's very little, right? People don't like to see you get paid for what you're anointed to do. Like, oh, Gio, you better not pull up in no Ferrari. I'm going to stop giving. But you know what, though? If I came out with a rap video and, like, it got turned up and I'm, like, dancing and stuff, like, go, Gio, go, Gio, go, Gio, go, Gio. Y'all be dancing. Let's just be for real. You guys would be dancing if I was talented. We love it when talented people make money. But if anointed people make money, everyone's going to hate. You know why? Because anointed people trigger insecurities of other people. So when you walk into a job and people can see that you're anointed, it just triggers something. It just triggers something. They don't mind the talent. They're jealous of the anointing. You see, God will bless you in what you're talented in because you do what you're anointed to do in the secret. He'll bless your talent in public because you're doing the anointing in secret. You see, I don't know if you know this, but every message, I usually wake up at like 5 in the morning. Don't know why. Wednesdays or for Sunday, if I go anywhere outside of the state, I usually wake up at 5 a.m. And Astrid knows this. And I'll stay up and I'll kind of go through my message. And then when it comes to my paintings, I usually, like, I'll be up to like 3 in the morning working on a painting. Because time just goes by. And I work real late. And I'll be going in, man. I go hard in the paint. And God is saying, wait a minute. He's doing what he's anointed to do. I got to bless this brother's talent too. You hear what I'm saying? Don't get stuck on your talent. All right? Your purpose will break down because we're stuck on talent. Where's my gift? After today, I'm done with giving leaders the gift test. I'll be honest with y'all. For real. I don't want any leader that's trying to come into youth ministry, I'm not giving you the gift test. Because I don't want you to serve where your gift is. I want you to serve where your anointing is. Where God has divinely empowered you. Just because you can make a video doesn't mean you need to serve in the video team. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe you could serve in the youth room and some kid without a father encounters somebody who's anointed. When Brother Scotty and Miss Sue commissioned us on September 15, 2018, they didn't just give us an ounce of their talent, they gave us a double portion of their anointing. See, the anointing you can give away. Bible says you can lay hands, you can anoint someone and give healing. You can give away anointing. They laid hands on people, and Paul said this, I want to come to you so bad so I can lay hands on you and impart a spiritual gift to you. If I'm anointed in the area, I can lay hands on you and you can get some oil. I remember when my wife used to pray for my work clothes back when I worked in the restaurant business. And one day she poured a little bit too much oil, if you know what I mean. And I remember touching it, and it took me 30 minutes. It took me about 30 minutes to get the oil off. And then I started thinking, man, oil is transferable, right? Do you see what I'm saying? You might ask this question, what am I talented to do? Maybe a lot, but what am I anointed to do? That's the question you should be asking. That trumps what your talent is. Sometimes it's usually the thing that no one wants to do. It's the thing that you think you're not good enough to do. Because it's true. It's true. That's why God anoints you. Because none of us are able to do this work. God has to anoint us to do it. Why do you think we need anointing? It means to divinely empower. So if God says, I got to get this brother some oil, that means you're not good enough. God knows that you're not good enough. That's why he wants to anoint you. Amen. What did David say when he finally get anointed? Did he say, finally? Woo, I knew I was going to be king. Dude was 16 years old, man. Ask a 16-year-old what they want to do now. Fortnite. Just want to play some Fortnite, yo. How many solo wins you got, bro? I got 11, just so you know. Anyways. look, we're going to break it down. If we focus too much on talent and not enough on anointing, we are going to be broken down, all right? I know I stayed on that for a long time, but it just needed to be said. Ask God divinely, empower me to help people. Here's the thing Jesus said, the sovereign Lord has anointed me to set people free. What you're anointed to do always helps other people. Typically, what you're talented to do entertains. And we think we're helping when we're entertaining. You know how many times I preached? And I wasn't helping people. I was just entertaining. And I thought it went good because people would laugh. People would say, all right. I love her so much. Or people would just be like, amen. Or they would scream. And I would take that as, man, okay, that's great. Somebody got something. But when they went home, nothing happened. Nothing changed. So you weren't under the anointing. You were under the entertainment. And entertainment and the anointing get the same claps. Don't get it twisted. They get the same claps. They get the same amens and they get the same everything. That's why it's so confusing. But when you release the anointing, the Bible says that the anointing broke the yoke of slavery. So when I preach with anointing, no demon of fear can come near you or your family. Because the anointing breaks the yoke of slavery. All right. Okay, we're off that now. The second thing of AAA is authority. authority. Matthew 8, chapter 8, 7 through 10 says, Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority. With soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to him, said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Why do you think the enemy is so calculated to making our authority figures hurt us? This would kind of be like, and I'm just going to use this as an example. See, I love having coffee with people. I love to entertain. My wife and I love having people to come over. We just love people. We love being surrounded by people. This will kind of be like somebody calling me up and saying, hey, I have a family member in the hospital. Could you pray? And my initial reaction is, yeah, I'll be over there right now. And they're like, no. You don't need to be here for him to get healed. Can you just come and pray? Just pray exactly where you're at. I don't need you to come. Your words have authority. And I mean, man, I have never seen faith like that. Typically, if you don't show up, that person gets hurt, right? So if you had a friend that says that they have a family member in the hospital, they need prayer, and if you don't show up, so let's face it, they get hurt. Yeah. They get hurt because they don't understand authority. They understand that I don't need to be in there, and I want you to know this, okay? This is not an excuse. This is not a cop-out. Pastors, leaders, people of faith, you need to be there for those people. Not as a mentor, not as a pastor, but as a friend. As a friend. My words don't need to be there because my authority does not increase in proximity. It doesn't increase in proximity. I can be 1,000 miles away and a person can get healed. And then the third thing is action. What is the AAA when the church is breaking down? What is the King calling that we'd walk in anointing, we'd walk in authority, and we would take action? In John chapter 18, verse 33 to 36 says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. So he says, here's how you would know if my kingdom was of the world. That my people would fight over politics because they would think that they need their post to make sure that something doesn't happen. That's the kingdom of the world mentality. My people would watch the State of the Union address and celebrate when people in power are dishonored. They would celebrate it because that's how the kingdom of the world works. This is how you know the kingdom of heaven has come, is believers don't talk as much. Believers shut up. They shut up about the other things that people shout out. Did you hear what I said? Believers shut up about things that people shout out. Believers can sit in silence about what others complain about. Believers don't need to post all day all things that are going on they just need to pray. See, if it was the kingdom of the world, they would post, but the kingdom of heaven praises. The king of the world makes a post about something they don't pray about. He says, I can tell you if my kingdom was this of the world, they would fight for this not to happen. But they know heaven always is in charge. So they can sit in silence and watch something happen and know that I'm on the move. See, they might not understand it, but they know this is not the kingdom of the world. They don't post, they pray. He says this. This is the verse about the kind of action, okay? Because sometimes we need to take action. Know the kingdom of the world would take action, you see. For some of us, when we think action, we think social media. Come on. Ooh, I'm poking somebody right now. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with social media, but I want you to hear the main action that Jesus said. Once he released his authority, Jesus came. And Matthew 28, 18 says, Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Did you hear what I said? How many times have we heard in the church that we need to be making disciples? We need to walk in authority and then make disciples. Because he said, I've been given all the authority, now go make disciples. Before we make disciples, we need to walk in authority. He died for our sins, he obeyed God, and now he had the authority. Before he died, he said, I've anointed. And he sent the disciples to set people free with anointing. But now he's walking in authority. He says to go make disciples. So who will have authority in these places they're trying to go to? A disciple. Not a saved person. A disciple. Someone who is learning and growing from the word of God. He says now you can go into all of the world. Anywhere you want to go. You don't have to spend so much time praying about the entertainment industry. As long as you have authority and you want to make disciples, go. Where do you want to go? God says, go. I've been given authority over the whole world. Go. Now, if you want to make disciples, you don't have any authorities, then don't go. If you don't want to make any disciples and you have no authority, don't go. But as long as you are under my authority and you want to make disciples, go. Why do we spend so much time praying, Lord, do you want me to go? It says it right here. Go. Go. Do you know what that word means in Greek? It means go. Go. I've been given all authority over the whole world. You want to write a book? Go. But do you want to make a disciple? I have to check. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. And I've been given all the authority. So go. Go ahead. We get in prayer, good Lord, if it be your will. Good Lord, if it be your will, I'll go. God is screaming in heaven, go! Go. Authority gives you permission to go. He has authority over the whole world, the whole earth. So once you ask this question, not God, what do you call, are you calling me under, what are you calling me to? God, what do you call me to do? Am I under your authority? Do I want to make disciples? Then I can go anywhere on this planet. God says, sure, as long as you want to stay in my authority, you need to make disciples. Think about that for a second. That's the action of AAA. Anointing, authority, and action. Worship team, can you guys come up here? Or through the back or the side or wherever you're at. Guys, without AAA, the church would be broken down. Broken down. Everyone stand. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. thank you for the greatest gift you can ever give us. Jesus, you are a Savior. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for saving us. Jesus, you are Lord. Lead us. Guide us. We can't do it on our own. Jesus, you are King. Your words have dominion for everything in our life. King Jesus, you have dominion over fear. King Jesus, you have dominion over confusion. King Jesus, you have dominion over depression. You have dominion over our entire life. As a body of Christ, can we just... There are people in here right now that they're struggling in secret and hiding. And I just want to speak to you for a little bit. Can you get the lights, please? You always gotta set the mood when Jesus is in the room. I love worship. I love my one-on-one with Jesus. I'll get my Bible out, put my music on. It's a relationship. It's that one-on-one. We've all accepted Jesus as our Savior. Some of us in this room right now have not accepted Him as our Lord. Father God, I pray for boldness over these souls right now. Boldness right now. Start walking out in their callings. Help us see the things that we can't see. Help us hear the things we can't hear. God, teach us how to love you. Show us how to love you. If you've been holding on to Jesus as your Savior and you don't know the steps to take to see Him as Lord or as King, I want you to just come up here. Just come up. The elders, me, everyone, we want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you. Jesus, you are King. There's a difference in knowing Jesus as Savior, knowing Him as Lord, knowing Him as King. King Jesus, you have dominion over everything in our life. Fear, you have to go. Depression, you have to go.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.